We'll now hear our morning scripture.
This is taken from the part beginning chapter of Matthew, verses 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, and the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bruce. This passage became a special story to me on a personal way 3 years ago. This same Sunday, the second Sunday of August, was my last Sunday at Lake Avenue Baptist Church in Rochester before moving here to Ithaca to become your pastor. So since Electionaries was on a three-year cycle, this was the reading for that Sunday. And my friend and fellow pastor, Michael Ford's message to me was, "Get out of the boat." So he framed this passage in terms of, go for it, take the risk, step out on faith, move out into the unknown. And that message is certainly here, and we'll talk more about that. But this passage also offers us a word when we are feeling worn out or overwhelmed and afraid of what life is throwing at us. This is also a story for us when we feel caught in a storm and battered by the wind and the waves. Perhaps for many of us today, that may be more of what we need to hear. Because, of course, storms come in all shapes and sizes from all kinds of sources. And in spite of the fact that right now there's a calmness and really an ordinariness to much of our days, we also know that we are right now in the middle of a storm of many different dimensions. The 14th chapter of Matthew shows Jesus and his disciples dealing with multiple threats and challenges. Perhaps they are threats and challenges that we can identify with, because the chapter begins with the news that King Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. News of political corruption, of injustice, of violence toward the one who dared to express dissent. News of the breakdown of righteousness in government. We know more of that right now than we might have imagined possible in the past. And then they were confronted by this huge crowd that followed them around the lake, a crowd full of sick and poor and hungry people. Human need on a massive scale. Thousands of people who were suffering and needed help. There is so much of that in our world right now, and the threat of more. Jesus poured himself out, healing the sick and then feeding them all. And then when the day was finally coming to a close, when they were all fed, he sent the disciples home in the boat to go back across the lake, and he dismissed the crowd. He stayed on the far side of the sea, sending the crowds away and claiming finally the time for himself that he so much needed, time for solitude and prayer, He went up on the mountain to pray alone, a pattern of his that we catch glimpses of throughout the Gospels. Late in the day or very early in the morning, we can read again and again, Jesus would slip away alone to pray. But the disciples went out in the boat, and they were caught in one of those storms that I've learned the Sea of Galilee is actually known for. Colder eastern winds drop down from the Golan Heights and can cause sudden violent storms on this large lake. The disciples' boat was beaten by the waves. The wind, we read, was against them. These were strong men. Many of them were fishermen, used to rowing. But they had struggled through the night trying to make headway. And early in the morning, the fourth watch, the King James Bible says, which would be about 3 or 4 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the water in the middle of the storm. They were terrified, thinking it must be a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Jesus says to us, "Take heart, do not be afraid." But it's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Over and over again, this is God's message to us. We're told it's in the Bible at least 365 times, one for every day of the year. Don't be afraid. The message is there not to make us feel bad when we are, but to try to encourage us. Take heart. Our English word, the root of courage and encourage, comes from the word cur, which means heart. So the scripture tells us, and Jesus tells us, take heart, have courage. It is I, Jesus says. In the midst of their storm, when they were exhausted from struggling, when they felt they could not keep going, Jesus came to them walking through the wind and the waves. Jesus knew their needs and understood what they were feeling, and he did not leave them alone. He came to them, just as he brings God's presence to us over and over again. God's Spirit comes to us. We are never left alone. We are never abandoned, no matter how alone and overwhelmed we may feel. And God's presence is a source of courage for us in the middle of the threats and storms of our lives. God's Spirit helps us take heart. Sometimes what we need to remember that is a cross or a stone in our pocket, something to touch and be reminded, something to help us pause and go to our heart center and breathe. Maybe we say a simple prayer, "God, I need a little help here." Or that ancient Jesus prayer, "Jesus, mercy." Jesus came to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Simon Peter, always the one, always big-hearted, strong-willed, outspoken, impetuous, said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Was he testing Jesus, asking him to prove it was really him? Or was it a recognition that Jesus brought with him a power, a capacity to move through this storm? And Peter wanted to live into that. He wanted Jesus to empower him to interact with this stormy sea in a different way, a way above, beyond fear, a way that wasn't about exerting his own strength and will, a way that let him walk through the storm instead of having to overcome it. That's what we want too, isn't it? Jesus said, "Come." And Peter did. He stepped over the side of that boat and started walking toward Jesus. He dared to take the risk, to step out of the safety, what safety there was in the boat, and try to walk on the stormy water. And he did it. He was walking on the water, just like Jesus, the story says. But then he noticed the wind and became frightened. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Like me, you may have heard preachers criticize Peter for his lack of faith here, quoting Jesus, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But I don't think Jesus really meant it that way. After all, Peter was the only one who tried it. He stepped out of the boat. He left the safety. He left what he knew. He risked going over the side into the water. He tried to do something unimaginable. And when Peter became frightened, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. You can almost hear Jesus saying, "I gotcha. It's okay." And the "you of little faith," I don't think is critical and judgmental, but it's more gentle. You were already doing it. Why did you let your fear take over? Jesus understood. He knew Peter's courage and he knew his fear. Simon had the faith to step out of the boat, and so long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was doing okay. But then he noticed the strong wind. Do we know about that? We all do that, don't we? We so easily let our fears take over. Peter stopped focusing on Jesus and started thinking about what was around him. We talked about this in Bible study this week, how you can walk a log across a tumultuous, rocky stream, and if you keep your eyes forward, you can do it. But if you look down, you get stuck, you freeze, or you may even fall off. There's actually a neurological connection, Meg Gillard says, between looking ahead and our sense of balance. The way forward, the way to keep our balance when the winds blow and the waves batter, is to keep looking ahead, to keep our focus on the one who comes to us in the midst of the storms of our lives. Our faith calls us to trust God, even when all we can feel and see is wind and waves. Our faith assures us that Christ, the living presence of God, will come to us in our needs. And our faith often calls us to step out of the boat, to go beyond what is known and familiar, to risk doing things that seem crazy, to let go of our usual ways of coping that are based on our strength and our efforts. Artist and writer Jan Richardson writes that we often tend to think about faith as an act of the will, something we have to achieve by our own efforts and then feel guilty when we don't. But she says that's not really the way it is. Faith doesn't reside solely in us, waiting for us to muster it. Faith is much more something that comes to us as we open ourselves to it. She uses the image of a sailboat blown by the wind. Faith comes as we unfurl ourselves to be moved by it, to be propelled, to leave the familiar places we have known and let go of our accustomed ways of moving through the world. Faith isn't something we have to find on our own. Christ enacts it, brings it forth in us as we respond to the voice that calls us across the waves and step out toward faith. Jan's husband died some time ago, and a few months after his death, she wrote, "I can tell you that I know what it means to be borne up when the waters overwhelm. I know the grace of hands that reach out to carry and console and give courage. And I am learning what faith is, how this word that we sometimes toss around so casually holds depths within depths that will draw us beyond nearly everything we once believed. This is some of what I know right now about faith," she says. "Faith is not something I can summon by sheer act of will. Faith lives and breathes in the community that encompasses it. I cannot force faith, but I can ask for it, can pray that it will make its way to me and bear me up over the next wave and the next. Faith comes, and I can lean into it." In the storms of our lives, Christ comes to us. When we are afraid, When we are overwhelmed and uncertain, Christ comes to us, not always to calm the storm, but to show us a way forward, a way to step out of the boat, to risk getting soaked, yes, but to open ourselves, to let ourselves be drawn toward the voice that calls us, the love that catches us, and the faith that carries us beyond the wind and the wave.